August 31st, 2013 is the WAP for Pedro show.
Thank you.
So glad to be with you again.
Yeah, it's been a long while.
Has been. How long?
Months and months.
Now, in between that time, what? You got pain?
I got all kinds of shit. I've had like a whole trippy existence. The whole pad's been redone.
Yeah. So that was that on all the cushions.
And the
pack, corner cushions.
The cushions are now in the back.
Right.
Figure going through the full hassle of moving to nowhere and moving back, I'd give it a little bit of a new look.
Yeah.
And to try it out, so I'm not sold on it, but it's different. After 16, 17 years, it's nice to have a little something new.
A little change of thing. Look, we started the show off with Pistrophe, short version of John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk. We heard At the End of Voyage by Suwako and Aoki Hayato. And then something live from Clawhammer, maybe in the mid-90s I've been enlightened with that knowledge. Vigil Smile, which has very much to do with our guest today, Brother Matt.
Yeah, welcome.
John Wall, all the way from Echo Park. Thank you for making the hell ride down here, John.
Howdy.
Yeah, and you're the one who lighted us to the fact that that was Clawhammer in the 90s. We got it via Bob Lee, who's the drummer man.
Yes, indeed.
Maybe one of those tours of those days.
Yep.
I know there was a tour he was telling me about that you guys did, and maybe you were I-90 or I-94 north, and the trailer came around. It was snowing or some shit. It was a winter of Einstein level of booking. So it was like in the mountains in February or something. And the trailer came around the van.
Actually,
so slow.
It wasn't. There was this. It was a fluke of weather. It was like April. And there was this, like, blizzard
so
that
it was
traveled.
Spring.
Yeah. And this blizzard just went due east, the exact same way we were going, just kind of followed us along. And
yeah, kept you coming.
We ate it a couple times on that trip. It was pretty awesome.
But the trailer coming around the vehicle, that's
yeah, it hit us
ice.
Twice. Like, it hit one side, whipped our the back of the rear end of the van
yeah.
to one side, and then because it did that, it kind of whipped the trailer around the other side, whipped us on the other side, and then the van went the other direction, kept doing
yeah.
it until we hit the guardrail over the overpass.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is why I was never into trailers and never did them.
Ah.
You know, once Flag took us, all 10 of us in the boat, while the gear was in the trailer, and one of them was like, you know, we're never going to tour in this mode.
I used to
bring a lot of dudes, the equipment's still going in there with us, right on top of it, but no trailers, and maybe we're cowards, I don't know. But, you know, I want to jump right in the middle. I mean, the 90s is kind of a long time ago, but I want to go way back when you first did music. Do you remember?
When I first did music?
Yeah, or had an idea of the consciousness of it, hearing it, you were a boy.
Well, I was a little kid. I always loved music. Music was huge in our family.
Do you remember the first?
Do I remember the first time? I remember playing a piano in the basement when we lived back east somewhere. We lived all over the
Before
place.
Before you even heard records?
Well, I was born hearing records. My parents loved like jazz.
Do you remember
and
the
classical
first record?
And stuff. The first record?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember the first record.
I couldn't tell you.
But I remember I do remember being into Satchmo. As a kid, just, you know, his hits.
Because you're what? Your parents are playing
Yeah, whatever they're playing.
And then
Spike Jonze was a big deal in our family.
There's a piano in the pad.
There's a piano in the basement. Well, we always managed to have a piano. I guess pianos were everywhere back then.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, you hear Satchmo, you're hearing records.
And I remember playing.
To that too. How old were you?
I was little. I was, you know, like 3 or 4.
Okay.
Playing the I just remember, like...
Do you remember what like, part? Was
trying
it the
to pick
left
out
hand or was it the right hand? Were you bass clef man or treble clef man?
I was more likely treble clef man, I would imagine, just from... If I'm the same now as I was then.
Okay. Okay, so... Did your parents see this? They say, well, maybe we get them lessons? No.
My mom, later on in my adult life, I took a classical piano. I started studying that. And then my mom was telling me, you know, 10 years ago, it's just, she regretted not taking me into, you know, pushing the music in me. Because art was pushed for me. It was like either art or music or...
What, drawing, painting?
Painting and drawing and stuff, okay. Yeah. There's that, too. So they saw that. So they pushed me in that direction. But then she remembers, because my other brothers took up jazz and classical piano and stuff like that. It was in the family.
Where are you and the brothers?
I'm in the middle.
Middle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brick's the oldest.
Right.
Then my sister Kathy, then me.
Brick played too. I didn't know that.
Played drums. Drums.
He's
a great writer.
I know he likes to write about it big time. And he's great.
Yeah.
I was telling Brother Matt, he couldn't believe the name.
Brick?
But his name is Matic, but... It's one of them C's in Slav that has the little V.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
They don't have the V, so it's Matic.
Gotcha.
So maybe his mom wanted to call him Otto.
Yeah, just thinking about that.
Automatic. I mean, for your brother, was there a joke or something?
Brick?
Yeah.
It was his punk rock name. His last name is Wall.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a big guy.
Oh, he wasn't born
Brick
with
Wall.
Brick.
No, he's Phil.
Oh, okay.
He's
I thought
Philip,
he was born with
Philip Henry.
Okay.
After my dad.
More standard.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought he was born with me.
No. My parents weren't that. My parents weren't weird.
Okay, you're doing this piano thing at home, and you, but they sense an artistic thing, and you so they're pushing you towards painting and drawing. I know you as a guitar man, so when did this shit with the guitar start?
There's no music in my life at all, and then like early teens.
So from
punk rock came along and changed my life is what
okay,
it was.
Okay, so from that piano stuff, you didn't really play.
Never did, no.
Yeah,
even
okay.
though I used to fantasize
but you used
as a
to
kid
get records.
Playing guitar.
Did you get records?
I got records.
Start buying records?
I started buying records, yeah.
Because your older brother, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
What kind of stuff were you listening to then?
Well, before the punk rock revolution happened, I was listening to your classic stuff. Who, Beatles, classical stuff, jazz stuff, all that stuff. And, you know, but Bailey didn't come in Incessant Collector until, you know,
the punk thing
really happened.
And
especially
then,
the Southern California
punk. The guitar thing comes, too.
And then, basically, I met friends in high school. Mike Palm was one of them from Agent Orange. Before Agent
Orange.
Orange County in Placentia. Went
so
to high
you
school.
Were in Orange County.
Went to high school in
Placentia.
Okay. Went to high school with the adolescents, with the Agent Orange guys, all those people, Social D and all that.
Sure.
And Mike Palm was just saying, well, we need more recruits. You need to.
This is before Mike Palm's voice changed.
Mike Palm's voice changed?
Yeah, because listen to Bloodstains.
Yeah.
Yeah, he don't sound like that anymore.
Oh, I haven't heard them.
Yeah,
in a long
time. Saw them when they first started. They had Steve Soto on bass, and Rogers used to be called King's Palace, and I saw him there. And he still had a voice like that. Bloodstains.
I used to ready for them back then.
His voice changed. You know, became a man. He's still playing.
I've noticed that. Yeah, I haven't seen him though. But I imagine it's all like very surf oriented now.
Yeah. But I remember these days when they first came out with that song. Rodney would play it a lot.
I remember when Mike. I was.
Take a lick is.
Basically, it was he. I remember he came into. We would walk to school together every morning, and he's. I got a new
what
song.
School
I wrote
this?
His first original song, El Dorado, which he wrote the song called El Dorado based on that because people were. Like throwing food at him, shit, like he cut his hair, you know.
Right.
He was like this hip surfer guy, you know, like all the girls loved and everything. And he had, you know, he played in a cover band, so he was the shit, you know. I mean, just he was like a this foxy young
kid.
You could
tell he had some technique.
Yeah, well, one of the he's related to one of the Lively Ones.
Is that right?
Yeah,
wow.
So that's in his blood, that surf stuff.
Okay.
But the Agent Orange. I mean, the Bloodstains was originally like his attempt at writing. Judas Priest song. And then combining new surf stuff with it, you know. That's what that was.
I lost my soul.
I lost my guitar.
That's great. But he's still out there playing gigs and stuff, different rhythm section stuff.
Yeah.
Good guy. So he had a big influence on you.
Mike basically
I'm playing
said,
guitar. You should play guitar too.
That's what he said. He goes, "You need to," because I was writing for him. I was always hanging out with him. I was like, all the rehearsals and everything.
Help him lift his amp and shit.
Yeah, and he was teaching me stuff, you know. And I was never really that interested. And one day he's like, "You need to," you know, like, and he taught me bar chords first, and then.
Well, so he even taught you how to play guitar.
Yeah, he taught me how to play.
Yeah.
So, and he was like, he was, you know, like adamant about me learning too, and I was just like, I wouldn't really be interested. I have the guitar in my house, I wouldn't play it. And he's like, no, learn it, or, you know, kick your ass. Type of thing, you know.
Let's play some music. Can we get something? I know you just did an Amadon album, so mm-hmm. You got a song from that.
Oh, cool.
Turning around, boy, I
show, you just heard Ready to Die by Iggy and the Stooges. That's the new album. And that's, in fact, that's what the album's called. And ahead of that, we had Milovaya Mika Markovic Jazz Band. That's from Stanislav. Stanislav and Zavich and John Pekovic went to the Toronto gig from Cleveland. They made that Hell Ride.
Oh, nice.
Right, and cool. Stanislav said he found some of this trippy-ass jazz from the old days. And, hey, you want to play some on the show?
Bitchin'.
Yeah, great to see both him and John.
Cleveland.
Which he never got to see Stooges before, so that was
happening. Oh, nice.
Yeah. And ahead of that was Man Up by Blue Coop. Now, Blue Coop is a band, it's a trio, that's got the Bouchard brothers from Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah, BLC.
And then the original bass player from Alice Cooper, Dennis Dunaway, hence the name Blue Coop. And they were in town, they played a gig, but only Albert could come to the gig, but I never got to see him. Which really bummed the drummer man, Larry, out because he really wanted to get a cowbell signed. Because Albert actually does play the cowbell on Don't Fear the Reaper. By the way, you know, Al Lanier passed away for most
of
the 2 weeks. Also, Rick Wright. Not Rick Wright. Yeah, Rick Wright from Pink Floyd. Tim Wright. Tim Wright was a bass man. Well, him and Tom Herman would switch off in Pere Ubu.
Okay.
He's the guy you hear on Final Solution.
Oh.
That's Tim Wright. He went to New York City after that and joined DNA when they lost the organ player. And in fact, I saw DNA with Tim Wright play Hong Kong Cafe in 1980.
Oh, man.
Ardo Lindsay, Ikue More. And he would start the tunes out. It was trippy, with these trippy bass lines. And anyway.
That was a great band.
Yeah. It's trippy. There's not even a lot of words out for Tim Wright. He kind of disappeared. Remember asking Tony Mamone, I did my third opera with him in Brooklyn at Studio G. And he said, yeah, last time I saw him, he was walking with a fancy cane. And then some other dude told me that worked at a bookstore with him called Strand or something in Manhattan. He had trepanation done twice by Mayan people. You know trepanation? Where they drill holes in your skull.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
And somehow exposing the brain makes you trip.
Wow.
Okay, so Mike Palm, we got to blame for getting you happening on the guitar. As you're learning the guitar, you're trying to, you know what? We had his brother on.
Mike's brother?
Yeah, Larry Palm.
Yeah, I know Larry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember we had Larry on the show. Some cat brought him aboard, and he's just done roadie man. He never learned to play, but he's been involved with the racket,
Right.
Larry Palm.
Very cool.
Good people, huh? Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Not in your seat. He was on the couch.
He came with Matt Sherrard.
Was he lying down?
Well, or some kind of odor.
Huh? I think he came with Matt Sherrard.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who was right in his book.
Yeah.
Okay. Larry's good people. Had good stories. So anyway, Mike Palm gets you into this. Now, when he's showing you how to do this shit, are you trying to copy off records?
He pretty much taught me a bunch of riffs, and then just watching him play, I learned how to play by ear.
Because he needed to book. It was all off records. About copying records.
It was all off records. He had like a big, one of those big consoles from the 70s or 60s, whatever, upstairs in this tiny little room. We put on our favorite records, and what's that?
He learned from records.
It was all records, yeah. And so I learned from records, and then a couple little riffs from him.
And he would show you, but then...
Just basic, shortcuts.
So you didn't start writing songs right away, that's what I'm
saying. I did, pretty much instantly, but they all...
Which is bitching, because we didn't write songs till punk came.
You didn't what?
I wrote one song as a teenager. It was called Mr. Bass King Outer Space. It was about doing some bass solo where everybody gets blown off the stage. It was terrible. It shows you where my insecurities were at.
I wrote a song, Flying, for a family reunion in 1978, before I was playing guitar. On the plane trip out there, I was like 16 years old. I just wrote the lyrics, and like, this is going to be a song. It was called Future Loner.
Future Loner.
Yeah.
It's better than Mr. Bass.
It's kind of a joke song.
Because we were dealing with hierarchies in those days. And songs. Okay, so you did start writing songs, but what you're saying, they were lame.
They were just songs, they never got anywhere. But, within, after learning guitar...
Like, you couldn't go back and play one of those songs for me nowadays.
I'm a trasher. No, I don't remember anything about it. I just remember my first official song.
Yeah, right, right.
Lyrics,
did you tape
vocals.
Them and shit?
No, that one I never did. And I just, but then within, like, after learning guitar 6 months later, I was in a band called the Addle Rich.
So you went and joined a band. Somebody's
formed a band. We formed a band. Me and a bunch of friends. It was Adrian Orange's first bass player. Was our bass player originally.
Oh, okay.
James Levesque.
Okay.
And my brother, initially my brother Lex on drums, but then we got I got Dan Ernst on drums, and we started gigging right away.
Called,
it was like we called the Addle Rich.
We're
like
Rich.
A hardcore punk band, like all like a Middle Class and Black Flag, that style.
Okay. Did you guys record?
No, we recorded all of our rehearsals, but drummer
you never
doesn't. They're all on reel to reels, you know. But
you guys never released anything.
Never, nothing.
But you did a lot of gigs.
We did a bunch of gigs, yeah. And we were on flyers too with the Germs and stuff like that. 17 and 18.
You're still in high school.
I was still in high school, yeah. It was a high school band.
Wow. And so when is this? Like early
1979, 1980.
Okay. Around Minutemen time.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
But we were 22, so we're... Because I'm 55 now.
51.
So, okay. I'm not too far ahead of you. Almost same period.
Same period, pretty much?
Yeah. But you didn't have the 70s thing about going to concerts.
No, my brother did. I saw him do that. I was a little, little pimply little brat.
So we did. That's the only way we knew. We didn't know about clubs till punk.
I just went straight from nothing to clubs.
Yeah, right.
And I never liked concerts. I never liked the big shows. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. You shortcut on all that bullshit.
Well, I think I missed a lot, though.
Well, look, whatever road it took to get you here, that was the one you were on. I was on one. Brother Matt was on one. You know, we're all on these roads that get us to here.
Yeah.
And if you could plan it all out, maybe it'd be like we would never meet each other because we'd be in Laneville. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some of this shit has to have kinks in it. Mm-hmm.
Kinks, there's that word. Yeah. Kinks.
Yeah, yeah, kinks.
That's why I have coasters.
That's why I got coasters. Yeah, I was trying to do an onomatopoeia.
Oh, the bathroom's down the hall.
That's like a sound, right? That's a word.
Yeah,
that
like that.
Not stuff. Kink. It shouldn't have been kink. It should have been clink.
Clink.
Right?
Like Colonel?
Or the jail. It's across the river in Thames, in London. And it's actually called the clink.
Really? The clink? Oh. Oh, gotcha.
But anyway, okay, so Idle Rich lasts for how long?
A year. About a year.
And then what broke it up?
Singers really into drugs, stuff like that. Yeah. Just like a lot of turmoil. Just
so
like
the band imploded. Drama.
We just he moved on. So I wound up like forming some other things with these guys instrumentally, called the Alliance for Progress.
Yeah, it's an instrumental band.
Yeah, I'm all
Lawndale.
It was more in the lines of like Gang of Four.
Oh,
I started learning new chops like
so funky
the funky
kind of
funky you know raspy funky guitar stuff. All of, like, don't, I kind of like what the middle class were doing, you know. Like
they moved to that.
Yeah.
From going fast into that funky, chunky thing. But this is instrumental band.
Instrumental band, yeah, exactly.
And nobody sang.
Nobody sang.
And did you guys record?
No, never.
And did you
never
did
recorded.
Gigs, though?
We did a couple gigs only, just a lot of rehearsing.
It's a lot of prac.
Yeah.
So it was a woodshed band.
It was a bunch of woodshed bands for years after.
But you know what? That it's valid. You were invested in for the real deal. You're still living in Orange County at this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was living in Brea.
You probably bail.
I had to. It's like prison down there. Went to Long Beach.
Okay, to Long Beach.
Yeah.
And that probably new music?
I brought my music with me there. You know,
yeah, but new situation, new peoples, new
Call
opportunity.
Hammer came out of all that.
Yeah, let's play some more music. We'll get into the Strong Beach section of your
Strong
journey.
Strong Beach. Thank you.
You know what? I forgot to tell you the songs that start off the previous chunk of music. One of them was Amadon's brand new, something called Melanie. It's just mixed it, right?
Just finished it, yeah.
Yeah. And then we heard Build a Bigger Iceberg by Guided by Voices. Then we heard, you know, Blue Coop and Milova. Milovaya. Mitya. Markovic Jazz Band. Just rolls off the tongue. And Ig, of course. I like that bass line, James Winterman. Anyway, this chunk of music here, buddies from Tokyo Light did Nomad from their new album. Position Normal. Mr. Chris is getting into like this editing trip, and it's called Untitled Old Tracks for V2 Music 2000, whatever kind of fucking title that is. Something from brand new, you know, Taramelos, Sacktown, great band. They got a new album, Tropic Lane. They have Dirty Beaches with This Is Not My City. Everybody, get well to Alex. He had to start a tour. You know, he's living in Berlin now. For some reason, he wanted to go leave right from the second story window. And you know, there, number two is actually what we would call the third floor. Because he's the ground floor. He jumped out the window, so he's in a wheelchair now. The tour still goes on.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe start a tour by going down the stairs of the Vader or some shit. Maybe not out the window. But I love Alex, so get well, heal up. He's strong, man. And then finally, Uncircumcised Stranger by Roman Gabriel Todd's The Beast Rising Up Out of the Sea.
Yeah.
Out of Mobile. Go, Todd. We're at the end of this first hour of the August 31st, 2013 edition of Block People Show with our guest, John Wall.
Yeah.
Family of Orange County, back with more of his story as it moves to Strong Beach. Hold tight for hour two. August 31st, 2013. It's second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah. Don't you smoke no marijuana. Might be laced with heroin or PCP. Be a good Americano. Don't you mess with Mexicanos. Your poor honey's gonna miss ya if you go across the desert valley. Took a cab to Mexicali. Ended up borracho in a square. I thought I'd seen an ex-wife. The woman never loved me. Had my babies. She was gone. Out there in Nogales, I was hung up with federales. You know, for a sawbuck you can go. I said that's mighty wide. I'd love to spend the night. I gave them a five, but I was gone. In the town of Juarez, I was drinking with old Lopez. Barkeep, this ain't one of them at all. It's got vodka and spice. It tastes kind of nice.
Toby Keith is the ugliest woman that I swear I ever seen. He's got a face just like a donkey, but he acts like he's some kind of beauty queen.
Toby. You ain't no woman. I can tell by the way that your balls are hanging down past the bottom of your micro mini dress. And that tube top you're wearing don't do much to cover up that Adam's apple you got coming out of your neck. But Toby, you ain't no man. Toby Keith is the ugliest woman that I swear I ever seen. He's got a face just like a donkey, but he acts like he's some kind of beauty queen. If you think you've seen a muskrat in a wedding dress come walking up your street, that ain't no giant rodent, that's this woman by the name of Toby Keith. I said that ain't no giant rodent, that's this woman by the name of Toby Keith.
Amor apasionado, anda todo alborotado. Nos dejamos hace tiempo, pero me llegó el momento. Me perdí. Tú tenías mucha razón, pero cazó al corazón y me muero por volver. Y volver.
go have sex with farm animals. And not a rubber chicken either. Johnny, Dave, Eric, and Randy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Randy Biscuitoro! All right!
So what? Okay, here we go. We're going to try this stuff. We haven't played in a year, so give us a break. And had a 5-minute rehearsal today.
Swap for Pedro show. Start the second hour off with Amadon's brand new. They're doing a cover of Nick Drake's Pink Moon. Want to tell us something about that? Why'd you pick that song?
We did a cover of...
This is a man who killed himself, right?
He didn't kill himself. He just died. I think it was accidental.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, I think so.
So somebody told me he ate a bunch of pills, and he was feeling bad.
Yeah, I know that he was having... I don't know. That's a controversial issue there.
He had a great voice.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. Great guitar player.
And yeah, that too.
Why did we pick that song?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a great song. That's basically all there is. I was learning on guitar. I'm like, I'm just... Like, I'm,
since I can play it, I want us to do it.
We're just jamming it and turn it into a song.
I like the way you gave it the treatment, though. It wasn't like just top 40 cover.
It wasn't?
No, because top 40 people want to like almost, it sounds like the record.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm sure.
Which I think is disgusting. If you're gonna, I think you should interpret a word.
I think every cover anybody does should be an original interpretation, in my opinion.
And not just some kind of like facsimile.
Exactly.
After that, we had the Hickoids with TJ. Yeah, we got a bunch of stuff from Sauce Tones out of Texas. Mr. Jeff there. Toby Keith from the Beaumonts. Volver, Pinata Protest. Tell My Sister, the Copper Gay Means. A cover of a Minuteman song by the Texas Biscuit Bombs. That's got Biscuit from the Big Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he made Dave with the, I'm drunk. Dave did some spiel with me for a book called Left End of the Dial. It talks to a bunch of people from the old days, like Gary Floyd. I think he's actually writing an autobiography with Gary Floyd, or helping him write. Gary Floyd's one of my favorite singers. I love him. Dicks. And finally, Punkin' and Ahoy by Sonia de Marinaio, which is a band I got with two guys from Italy. And I'm going to go there. We're going to do the last little Tomorrow's Party. They're folding that tent up.
Uh-huh.
December 1, and then I'm going to stay over in Bologna for 10 days and make our second album.
Oh,
I'm
going to
bring those cats out for the fall of 2014. Do 51 gig, 51 day tour get to know the U.S. a little bit.
That'll be their first trip. Nice.
They've done some little gigs because they're also a backup band for Mr. David Grubbs. Mm. Tom Watson knows him, Gaster D. Soul. I'm not as familiar. But, yeah, we left off at Strong Beach. You move out of, behind the orange curtain. In fact, one of the border towns.
Broke out.
Yeah. Because right there, right, California 22 turns into 7th Street, and right there's the line. In fact, I think Sunset Beach just annexed themselves to Huntington Beach. Because that used to be in a no man's land.
Oh, really? It is
now? PCH run, because... Actually, I used to go to that beach when I was a boy. My mom liked taking us out there.
Seal Beach?
Next to it. There's one called Sunset Beach. Okay. Actually, there was a club there for a while, too.
Yeah, cool little club.
Twilight Zone or something. Right there on PCH.
The Blues Club?
No, they had... Maybe it was.
No, there was a Blues Club for a while. There's like St. Peter's Landing across the street.
Mm-hmm. I remember I played there with my second band, and I made an album with sax man Steve McKay from the Stooges.
Uh-huh.
Called the West Coast Jazz Ensemble or something like this. And Dick Deluxe on the guitar and some cats who live there. So I know a little bit about Sunset Beach. But anyway, that's a border area. I've also paddled because that Seal Beach used to be the weapons thing for the Navy base.
Yeah,
it was in Long
Depot
Beach.
There.
Now it's a super fun baby, but it's got wetlands and stuff. Mm. And I rented a kayak, and it's called Huntington Harbor or something. There's these fake islands with condos on them.
Yeah, everybody like got a toilet in the backyard.
Yeah, you got to have water. You need tides flowing through, man. Ooh, that odor.
Yeah, stagnant.
Ooh.
So what happened? You moved to Long Beach, Strong Beach, but you got bit by the music thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Bug, right?
I was already bit, yeah.
You're bit.
Yeah.
And now?
I was infected.
So now what?
Klonheimer had been doing, so we'd actually been rehearsing in Fullerton, but we were from all over the place. We reconvened in Long Beach. All of us pretty much moved down there.
Oh.
And started, I don't know, there's a bunch of great, back in the day, this was before Long Beach had been all gentrified. It was all just.
Is this Rhino 39 days?
Rhino 39, this is the mid-80s.
Oh, mid-80s, so it's post-Rhino 39.
Yeah, yeah.
The singer man got killed, his brakes went out or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but there were still Zeds.
The Zeds was still there.
But it had moved to the park, the shopping center.
Exactly.
It wasn't in the little blue building on 7th Street.
Yeah, it was near the.
Remember the Stingers, that band?
Oh, yeah.
Remember they had Venus, they had their little kid in the band?
Yes.
So he knows Strong Beach.
Yeah.
I think Mike Bard had a band called Funeral Band.
Okay.
Before he went to Texas and the Horseheads.
Okay, I don't
know. So would you guys keep the name?
Clawhammer?
No.
What?
Oh, I thought you reconvened those OC guys that had moved.
No. The Clawhammer was a band, and then we all moved collectively to Long Beach. And
that band's created Long Beach. It never had a history in Orange County.
Clawhammer did? And originally, we used to rehearse, and I lived in Fullerton.
But none of them cats were from there, right?
Bagarossi guitar player was from El Toro.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if is that Orange County?
Yeah, that's way Irvine by the airbase, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure where
that's deep.
Where that
Orange
is.
County. That's like south.
That's far. It's like San Diego almost.
Where's Bass Man from?
He was originally from Boise, Idaho, by way of San Francisco, and then went to college at Irvine.
Bob Lee, I know, is from Lambertsville, New Jersey.
Bob Lee's from New Jersey. Our original drummer that we had before him was from Lakewood. That's our connection there to Long Beach.
Oh, right, because Lakewood's a town right next. It's an island, in fact.
Inside. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I used to read meters there. It's kind of built for McDonnell Douglas.
Exactly, yeah.
It's one of the first track homes, too.
That's Littleton, where they were, really?
Littleton and Long Island is the first one, but that's right up there with
okay.
them. Yeah. Because he was looking at military barracks, and he thought, well.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I used to read the meters there for Edison. So, okay. How did you get Clawhammer together, though?
Looking for a I gave
recycler?
Up music. It was recycler. It was a recycler. Very good. Okay.
Shit was done in them days. So I bought all my cars, all my music stuff.
Yeah, look for those little ads. You post those tiny little ads in there. Like, 8-point type.
Yeah.
I was a typesetter back then.
Okay.
During
the 7-Elevens.
I'd given up music. I was in the Pontiac Brothers with Ward Dotson.
We had him.
Yeah.
We had him aboard. I think that same cat brought him.
I was in the band for about a year.
Yeah.
So I did that. I did the Otto Rich thing, the Electric Tombstones after that, this band, like this weird kind of like, it was like the band, but weirder, like punk version of the band. Huh. Did that, put out a single, recorded a full record, that style, but like more punked up. And then from there, Pontiac Brothers, and then gave up music.
Take the load off.
Yeah.
With the load. Man, you never recorded, huh? I'd love to hear that.
The Tombstones? Yeah, we did. We recorded a full record, but it never came out.
Yeah, but you got to floor me this shit so I can play
it. Oh, I will, definitely, yeah.
Sounds like the band, but punk, huh? Okay.
Trippy.
Okay, so Electric Tombstones. After those guys.
It was the Pontiac Brothers.
Pontiac, and that's your kind of side mouse, right? Because I know it was those two guys, mainly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just play guitar on one record.
And everything was all about, he came on and talked about it, Ward. Cool people. Very cool people.
Yeah.
They wanted to be the Replacements.
Yeah, exactly. We did a couple great gigs with those guys.
And you even played with the Replacements.
Yeah.
I just did last week. They did a gig. 22 years.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've been hearing all about
it's
this.
It's just Tommy and Paul.
And
the Long Beach guy on drums, Josh.
So, what happened? Josh Freeze.
Yeah.
What happened to Slim? Guitar player.
Stroke.
Oh, shoot. Okay, yeah.
So, they did a benefit for you. So, okay, so that band dissolves. The Tombstones, Pontiac Brothers kept going, but you left them, right?
Yeah, I left them, and I gave up music.
Then you just quit music.
Because I was always like between music. Music took. I never intended on doing music, and I kept doing it. It's passion. I couldn't get out of me once I learned it.
Yeah.
But I was still doing art. I still wanted to do art. I've been studying sculpting, like bronze casting and figurative sculpting and stuff like that. So I go, it's time for me to make a move. I have to figure out one or the other. I can't do both. I'm going crazy, schizophrenic here. So I just after the Pontiac Brothers, I said, that's it. I've done my thing.
I'm going to do sculpture.
And I'm going to do art. That's it. And then my brother, Brick, calls me up, and he had just linked up with Trigon Records, like Zug's Rift.
Yeah.
Trigon Records. Mark Mylar, that whole crowd. So Brick hooked up with Trigon.
What's it called? Zug Rift and Amazing Shitheads.
Yeah, the Amazing Shitheads. Yeah. I'm thinking the Janitors
Amazing
of Shitheads. America.
And I remember the bass player painting his fingernails, and I'd never seen that.
John Truby was not that whole crowd.
John Truby, he wasn't on the bass. He had another cat.
Yeah, but
he was part of that unit. And I played a lot of his stuff on the show.
Yeah, I love
Truby. I think he's up in Santa Rosa now.
Truby?
Yeah.
Is he? Okay.
Blind man's penis.
Yeah.
Love how about that, where he sent the music to the Nashville dude?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just said the words.
Have you heard it?
He made canned music.
I remember talking about it.
I guess the story is just as good as the music.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that story.
So Rick's working with the Trigon. He says what?
He gives me a call one day. He goes, I know you got some tunes. I'm putting this compilation together of L.A., current L.A. bands, and I know you're still writing songs, or you had songs you've written that you'd like to get recorded. Here's your chance. I'm like, okay, what the hell? He goes, because my guitar is literally in the closet. I just like, oh, that's it. I sealed it up, threw it in the closet. I go, fuck that. And I pulled it out, dusted it off, and started writing some tunes. Looked around, searched for a long time, for a good, 6 months for someone. I was looking for a piano player. So me and guitar, singing, piano player, drummer, bass player. And then Chris Bagarossi called me up because he influences Stooges, MC5, Mötley Hoople, Replacements. And Bagarossi liked that, and he goes, screw the piano, you want a guitar player. So that's where Clawhammer started. The Recycler.
But the name, were you ever Orange Clawhammer?
We were Orange Clawhammer for a while, but we...
It's a song off Trout Mask Replica. Mm.
Do you know why we dumped the word orange? We were in Orange County.
I asked that because you said influences Mötley Hoople, MC5, Stooges, Replacements. You didn't say Cat B.
No. Back then, I just learned that everyone I kept bumping into did not like B-Fart. That was just too weird, you know?
Dude, when I played B-Fart on tour in the boat, Ed from Ohio went insane.
So I just never brought it up. It was my little secret.
Ed from Ohio could not handle it. Yeah. That and early Bob Dylan. Damn, Mike. It's killing ears. Like, he put a coat over his head.
You're talking about B-Fart and my crotch is buzzing. Oh, that's my cell phone. But back around one day at a party after I've met Chris, we were talking, and Chris goes, hey, do you like B-Fart? I'm like, oh, man. Okay, get me started. And then from that point on, we just took the band.
How did you get into B-Fart, Rick?
Actually, no. It started off just listening to K-Rock back then. I remember before I would go to school in the morning, make my bed, and they were playing Tropical Hot Dog Night.
Right. Shiny Beast.
And it just became embedded in my head.
I remember when that happened.
And at first I'm like, what is this weird song? You know, like, it's kind of bugging me, you know.
Calypso.
Yeah, and I ride my bike to school in the morning, I'd be humming that song in my head, and eventually I got obsessed with it. And I called my brother.
It's in a Foot Fight.
Yeah, it's so great. That whole record.
Yeah, it's trippy. It's a trippy magic band.
Yeah, yeah. I had the fortune of playing bass with Morris Tepper a couple years ago, too.
Wow.
For about, 9 months or whatever. That was a blast.
Wow. He asked me to do something, but he said it was going to be like Highway 61.
Yeah, he's really into the Dylan stuff.
Like a jug band. And I thought it was going to be like Doc and the Rams. But that was all the captain. But
yeah,
he's a pretty amazing musician.
Morris? Yeah, I love that guy.
Wow. Wow.
He's a great person.
Anything you want, he could play for you.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I remember we were at rehearsal, and he had all his guitars up hanging, and one of them he just pulls down, is this old Telecaster. He goes, he told the whole story. He goes, I first started jamming with B-Fart, and pulls it, and he goes, B-Fart, I forget what guitar he had when he started jamming with him first, but B-Fart's like, no, I'm buying you a new guitar, let's go out shopping. They went to pawn shops, and B-Fart's like, bought that for him, here you go, it's this Tele. And so then Morris, my buddy Dan McGoo was playing keyboards, had brought this amazing old, vintage old tube out, and Morris is like, oh, I want to try that, and so he takes his Tele out, that B-Fart, that he played on those B-Fart records, and he started playing Suction Prints. And me and Dan were like... And it was just like the record. The same tone, everything.
You know, there's a... one he plays by himself, it's called Diamonds... Like a Carrot to a Blind Horse.
Yeah.
And I had Nels do that. I thought that was... Because I heard that... B-Fart taught him that with his mouth. You know... Ding, 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 ding. And he had to do this on the guitar. It's an amazing piece.
A carrot is as close as a rabbit gets to a diamond.
To a diamond, that's what it is. A carrot's as close as
a
rabbit gets to a diamond.
It's a good
record. On the side of a Black Gang single.
Oh, yeah?
Nels wrote the other side. They asked him to do by himself that song. When I saw them, they played the Whiskey. and they had the other guitar was Hasti Scheider, and they both played Stratocaster.
December 20th, my birthday.
They had slides. They would play with fingers and slides at the same time. It was pretty amazing. It started off with Drew Feldman doing bass solo. Candy corn, maybe?
Yeah. Wait, so that was your birthday?
Yeah.
Because that was my birthday. I couldn't make it to that gig. Yeah,
and I was in surgery. I had a cast. I just had surgery. Wow. So, you know, I wanted to get into the Beefheart connection, but... So it's because Chris liked him, and you didn't have to be afraid saying you liked him.
And we just went nuts after that, and just like we turned everything.
That's
everything
how Stooges
shifted.
Was in high school for me. You couldn't mention him. Beefheart was like that too. People couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Beefheart and Shockabilly way back in like early 80s. Like just at work, I would like bring cassettes in to listen to, and like, I want to listen to Shockabilly.
Eugene Chadbourne.
Oh, love that.
Great guitar.
Oh my God, yeah.
Okay, we're coming up on time now for. But you would be. You didn't find the guitar?
Yeah, I got two. I found a little lap steel, if you want that.
Can you work lap steel?
I could do whatever, strings.
Okay, John Wall's going to collaborate with Brother Matt here on the spin side.
Shitting in the morning sun. I'll be shitting here till evening comes. I'm watching my turds fall in. Then I take them back out again. Oh, I'm shitting off the dock of the bay. Watching my great big turds float away. Shitting off the dock of the bay. Making them be stained. Listen. I eat some black-eyed peas, Georgia. Oh, and they making me feel so sad. Yeah. Every time I have to use the bathroom, it hurts my ribs so bad, so bad. So I'm shitting off the dock of the bay. Just watching my turds float away. I'm shitting off the dock of the bay. Just wasting, wasting.
Show, okay? Next, we're gonna do a thing by a young man that ain't been on the scene quite a while. Mr. Major Lance. We're gonna do a thing was written by Mr. Chris Mayfield and Impressions. They call it. We call it the Fox Song. Doo, 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 doo. Go something like this.
Yay! Born and raised right here. In San Pedro?
No, it's San Pedro. Go ahead and put your Spanish accent on it, but it's always been San Pedro.
We get upset when you call it Pedro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Locals don't like it.
Oh, no, locals don't like it. Matter of fact, I can be watching the news, and I hear one of the news reporters say, well, in San Pedro, and I'm like, oh, no, no.
Next channel. Turn the channel.
Turn the channel. Right. Go to KNX, yeah.
Is it San Pedro or San Pedro?
If you live here, it's San Pedro.
San Pedro.
Pedro.
Yes. It's Pedro.
Okay.
It may be incorrect, but yeah, that's what we call it. Yeah.
No matter what foreign element has come in here and changed it, it still goes back to San Pedro.
In fact, some locals told me, if you're from here, you can leave off the San.
We don't say San Pedro. It's where are you from? Pedro. It's just Pedro. When people say they're from Pedro, we know they're local.
San Pedro, San Pedro.
Pedro all the way, dog.
And it's good to know that at least one of my local experts has the credentials to back up what he says.
We have a good school here. I have a PhD. It's a Pedro High diploma.
How many sex offenders live in your neighborhood?
Are there terrorist cells in your neighborhood?
Marijuana.
Could it be in your neighborhood?
And is America ready?
Is the U.S. next?
Is America dangerously underprepared?
If you think you're immune, you better think again.
Obama's plan is going to kill you.
Are your kids being brainwashed? I'll tell you who's taking cues from the Nazis at Doomsday 2000.
Killer bees versus
the terror threat.
The superbug.
Global pandemic.
Illegal aliens.
Gun restrictions.
Right-wing terrorism.
Evangelical Christianity.
Gay marriage.
Death penalty.
The Trump plot.
Indoctrination.
Militias.
Anarchy, chaos, and cannibalism.
Gosh, we better wake up soon.
It's or we're gonna wake up dead.
We're in a lot of trouble. Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel. The ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls in the hands of the wrong people. And when the largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be fed up the truth on this network? So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the border-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourself, because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. Man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer, and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We're in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like a tube. You ate like a tube. You raise your children like a tube. You even think like a tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
And it doesn't mean I need to be in therapy. You know what it means? It means it feels really good.
Doesn't mean I'm weird, and it doesn't mean I need to be in therapy. Doesn't mean I'm weird, and it doesn't.
Brother Matt, what inspired you?
The news started it off, and then everything else just kind of fell into place, I guess.
Okay. Augmented by.
Yeah, we had the news. The news was up. KNX News was up at the Seals in the Bird Center a couple weeks ago, and so I just nabbed a little clip of that with their little Pedro spiel.
Yeah, we got a hospital for boil birds and sea lions up here. Uh-huh. Seals.
They set a record on seals this year.
Yeah, so
now
many.
They only got like 20, but there it was like 120 or something like that.
Yeah, little babies, a lot of little babies.
Wait, why?
There's
so
some
many?
Kind of seal disease, like pox, yeah. Like some kind of chicken pox, like for seals.
Virus growing around.
That's too bad.
Plus, there's not a lot of food. Plus, there's some dude out there shooting them.
Oh. Yeah.
Plus,
they had a problem with the aggressive males. Mm. You know, the sea lions are run by a guy. The harems.
Uh-huh.
So all the other guys, you've been to Pier 39 up in the city. Right?
Yeah.
That's all frustrated dudes. So sometimes they separate the mothers from the babies because they're just
frustrated.
Anyway, thank you so much for
Dad. So that's the first time you ever fiddled with one of those, huh?
You not know what I was
first
doing.
Time you ever did a lap steel.
Never
done. Right?
Never will do one again.
Okay. We're at the end of the second hour. August 31st, 2013, edition of the Pedro Show. Brother Matt with our guest, John Wall.
Yeah.
Hold tight for hour three. August 31st, 2013, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
I'm not afraid to die. let me know, cause and I've come too far to let it go.
나 서세수하고
잠깐 쉬자
TV를 켜고 아침을 먹다가
잠깐 쉬자
뭐 할까 고민하다 생각나면
잠깐 쉬자
컴퓨터 켜놓고 메신저 하나 yeah. 쉬다가 힘들면 벌렁 누워
잠깐 쉬자
일어나서 기지개 켜고 하품하다
잠깐 쉬자
배고프면 짜증내고 폭식한 후
잠깐 쉬자
그러다 죽는 거야 확인하고 밥 사줄 사람 없나 찾아보고 온종일 게임하다 눈 아프면 그러다 죽는 거야
Pedro Show. Started the third hour off with Demon Queen, Mr. Tom. Doing a collab there. Love Hour Zero. Hunt Natty after that with Hellfish. Deeper D's, Tears and Running. After that was Warrior of Justice, Day of No Job. That's a heavy. Warrior of Justice, Day of No Job. One of them Game Boy things. And then Drop Me Gently into Fibers, something live from the Expressway. Maybe, how would you pronounce EXPWY?
Express Wyoming.
Okay. Clawhammer, back to your story. John.
Yeah.
You put this together. You first wanted to do guitar and piano, but Mr. Chris was a guitar man, so you could go on to make several records with these guys, several tours.
Mm-hmm. A whole lot.
Up to this point, you really not have to have toured or anything.
No, never, no.
No.
Just little
so
road trips
got,
here and there.
This is the band you do all that in.
Yeah, this is the
signed
band.
To a major label.
Opus, yeah.
All these kind of
yes.
Healthy educations.
Yeah. Healthy educations?
Yeah, lessons, primers. This is, we're talking the 90s.
Yeah, marriage is a healthy education as well at that point for me.
Yeah, right. So it's a trippy part of life. But,
yeah.
It's worth it, though.
Oh, it's all worth it. It's all worth it, yeah. Of course.
You guys made a lot of good music, a lot of good fucking
it was fun.
Gigs. And how many years was it of your life?
Clawhammer is about 10 years, about 10 a decade,
years.
Yeah, you know.
People, go out there and check it out. There's a lot played, a lot on the show here, but there's a lot out there. Every good boy deserves, what was the name of that album?
That's the Mudhoney record.
No, didn't you have one with the apple?
Oh, Hold Your Tongue and Say Apple?
That's what it is. Hold Your Tongue and Say Apple.
Stupid title. Really stupid title.
Yeah. Right? If you do that, you end up saying asshole, right? So there was some kind of, sometimes Clawhammer said some little jokes like that, but actually it was a pretty kick-ass rock and roll band. You know, a punk band. It was really powerhouse. You had no end to writing songs. Had you given up sculpture?
Yeah, I want to go back to it someday.
No, but at that point,
yeah. I didn't know. I just did. It was all music. I just decided, just what the hell, you know? Just do this.
Let it go out.
Do this dumb thing.
Run the whole reel out.
Yeah, exactly. It hasn't run out either.
No.
At this point,
but after a while, I know something. Maybe the bass man left or something, but because. I want to get into this Amadons thing. Because Amadons kind of is, it's part of the Clawhammer trajectory in a way.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of, there's always an overlap, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Let's play another Amadons song. I got one here that Bob Lee sent called With Love and Catholic Guilt. What can you tell us about this one?
It's just about being drunk and depressed.
Yeah,
goddamn, my brain got drunk again, and my eyes became Venus flytraps looking for love or lust or trust or just simple happiness. Think I funk about all the angels lost in the fog, and so I say to the sewer. Felt like a loser, no one to blame except oneself. She
feeling nothing but sorrow. Now one is sorry.
Thank you. see rows and rows and rows of men looking for life, looking for love, looking for love, for love, for love, looking for love, for love, for love, for love.
Yes, Amadon's brand new, just mixed with John here, with the love of Catholic guilt about something he doesn't do anymore, which is drink. After that, we heard probably the best band name I have ever heard in my life. Ryan is fun.
yeah, Ryan.
okay. And then Blue Willa with Rabbits. Una Passante, Utterly Wrong, and finally Oil from Frederick Kimball, who's a slide player, friend of James Williams. And yeah, we were playing this gig in Berlin a couple weeks ago, and it started raining when we got done, big time. And these cats had ridden their bike, so we gave them a ride. The one cat is this Swedish slide guitar player that James Williams knows, and flowed me some music.
Little bitch.
He can play. Cool. He's fucking habit. So, to the Amadons, yeah. After 10 years of Clawhammer.
Yeah, there's...
There's overlap, right?
Bass player quit.
Yeah.
And it was hard to keep the band going because we were, you know, Clawhammer was
Amadon's
those poor guys.
Steve Reed on the bass.
Amadons, we got Steve Reed, yeah.
Yeah. Still got Bob Lee on the drums, though, so that's the...
Yeah.
Ground.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. So we did that in that, you know.
So Clawhammer just had to stop. Either that or just get other guys and call it Clawhammer, right?
You just want to do something different. I don't know. I always like to do something different.
Yeah, so give it a different name.
Yeah.
I know some dudes, the branding is so strong in their mind, they just will not let go.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's a Thin Lizzy out there without Phil in it. I think his mom owns it.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's fair for Clawhammer fans if they're going to do something, you know. It was a total change up. It was like, we had Richie Haas in the band on the Vibes.
Yeah,
we had,
right.
I had a saxophone, I had a clarinet, I had, at one point it was 8 people, you know what I mean? It was nothing like the Clawhammer thing at all. It was singing different, everything, so.
But you've kind of gone back to the Clawhammer thing a little
bit. It's just, now I've realized that, it's just everything that I've done, I can just do whatever. It's turned into a big, giant boiling pot of
steam. You don't have to worry about sounding like Clawhammer. If you do it, you do.
I just do what I do
when
now.
When you first started Amadons, you purposely didn't want to sound like...
Exactly,
that.
Yeah. It was an intentional thing.
Now, now there's been enough space.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, it's going to be Amadons.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's great. Steve Reed, I've known a long time. I've been in many tours with him. He's a happening cat and great musician, too.
Oh, we actually got Bill Tutton in the band now on bass.
Wow.
You know Bill Tutton?
I know Bill from the...
Geraldine Fibbers?
Yeah. From Luth Nels. Yeah.
Yeah. Then,
he's a
so
great
he's been.
Bass player.
Oh, he's amazing.
So Steve Reed's out. Okay.
Steve moved on a couple years ago. He was busy doing a bunch of other stuff, so he got sidetracked.
Yeah,
and then, so then we got. After a while, we wound up with Bill Tutton. I'm totally blessed by that.
He was out of town for a while.
Who? Bill?
Bill, wasn't he?
You mean.
With other people. I think he's actually from back east.
He's from Buffalo. He goes there quite a bit just for family stuff. I don't know if he's doing music stuff recently.
Okay. But yeah, I'm a big fan of his. Does he do stand up with you?
Like comedy?
He did stand up in the Fibbers.
Just joking.
Double bass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he just now bought a new double bass. We just did some like jazz standards gig thing recently live where he busted that back into his repertoire. So I would like to start doing that as well. You know, I'm gonna see if there's anybody involved in that. He's great on the bow.
Arco.
He's great. But he's the guy who played on that record that we just did too, Bill Tutton.
Yeah.
Me, Bob, and Bill. Yeah.
Okay. Just three of you on this.
The three piece. We're just keeping it three piece now.
Wow. Here, let's listen to our final music for today.
Why you're done playing in the yard, and your skin is craving sunshine. When you find your way out of that car, you'll find a way back into your mind. Pull me up and put me on a fire. Pull me up and put me on a fire. Pull me up and put me on a fire. Pull me up and put me on a fire. All right. It takes a while to learn. Some things weren't made to move. You've been waiting a lifetime to hear me say, I got nothing left to prove. I wanna go to school to find a hand to hold. And that's the only reason why I've got to.
So,
Watt for Beaver Show, the last music for this edition. You just heard Great Garden by No Love Less. And ahead of that was Reign of Pestilence by the Paranoid Critical Revolution. That's got Reg with Glenn Branca. She runs the band.
Oh, it's okay.
Incredible band. And they got a singer now. Dagger Moth, ahead of that, from Italy, with the Log Lady. Rod Bryan, I think he's from Arkansas, Fold Me Up Something Live. And we started off with Blahs at War by Snore.
Snore!
They're gonna be, yeah, you know, right? I think they're part Jacksonville, part Indiana.
Yeah, I was trying to get some, I had some emails and I was having trouble learning because I was going to slip some Snore in. So
okay, well, we got some Snore here.
Yeah.
Are we going to go to war this weekend?
Sure looks like they're trying.
Okay. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the Yamadon's stand on political songs?
On the stand on political, we don't really touch on political songs.
Okay.
Personal politics.
You stand against?
There's no stand. I don't know. I mean, I've been a big mouth on some certain things. A big attack on the Rolling Stones years ago.
Yeah, remember that? Did you take blows for that?
Yeah, I got pretty much banned from a lot of circles of bookings and stuff like that for being a loudmouth. It was fun.
Reaping what you sow.
Yep, exactly.
No, people are weird about that.
That's great. I love that, though.
Yeah. You ruffle up the...
Yeah.
That's
the only reason I have a guitar in my hands is because it's punk rock.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't because I was trying to be a beautiful musician.
No.
I was trying to be an ugly one.
Yeah. You want to be part of the movement, the bow movement.
Yeah, the bow movement. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to get in on that. So, when's this album come out?
Don't know yet. It's going to be on vinyl.
Yeah.
It'll be, it's going to be...
But soon, it's going to be out. So
yeah, people, like in the next few months.
And you'll be playing gigs around it and
a
stuff
bunch,
like that.
A whole bunch, yeah.
So
have a release party.
If you're in SoCal here, check out Amadon's. Gigs are great. Actually, I haven't seen him with Bill Tubman, so I got to go see you guys.
Yeah,
too,
you should. He's great.
He's great bass man. I've always been a fan of his.
He's amazing.
Is there a website? Can people find you on the internet?
Just right now, just Facebook. It's got all of our stuff, previous records.
Amadans.
Yeah.
Somehow, is there like a porthole or some five box?
Like John, usually it's listed as JONWAHL, John Wall, and the Amadans.
Facebook. So type that into their.
Yeah, it's got like a SoundCloud connection. You can hear all the music. Like,
there's songs on there too?
Yeah, there's a bunch of music, a whole lot of music. We did two CDs, one on Birdman. Sour Sweet, and then the next one on a little company called Rudek, called Iron Nails Run In.
But people can hear some stuff there.
There's a whole bunch, yeah.
Yeah, and people, demo stuff. Recommend it. And this man is a one of a kind, and adding to the whole, what I think is important about the scene, which is fucking, you know, let the freak flag fly. So thank you for keeping that up, John. It means a lot.
It means a lot. Hearing that from you,
Mr.
Watt.
Thank you for sharing with us our glimpse at your musical journey up to now.
Yeah, nice having you down in Pedro today.
Thank you so much. It's super nice to be here.
Sharing some of our weather.
Yeah. I promise not to take any.
No,
I'll leave it here.
Some back,
I'll leave it here.
The window and bring it back up there.
I'm coming back down tomorrow.
People, it's been next week, Brother Matt, we got a show. Maybe Joe Dean. That's what Bob Lee said. He wants to like Joe Dean.
Good deal.
Bass man. And you did bass in Pontiac Brothers?
Did guitar.
You did guitar. You never did bass.
I only played bass with Morris Tepper, and I played bass with Alves.
Okay. You didn't tell us about Alves.
Oh, that happened. Would you like go
to the
show with
again one day to talk about that? Because Roberto, he's having it.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
He was Oasis last week.
Really? Yeah. Oh, damn.
Saw him at a Dodger game 2 weeks ago. He was just there.
Nicole. Okay, it's been the August 31st, 2013 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you again, Mr. John Wall, for coming aboard.
Cheers.
Matt, you're always able vetting with me. Everybody out there, please keep your powder dry.
Yeah.